Job chapter 14, beginning verse number 1. The Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Yeah, forgive me, I read that earlier. As I was reading that, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if it said man that is born of a man is full of trouble. It was just a thought that ran through my mind. It passed through, and I just wanted to relay that thought. It's not preaching. It's just a thought that went through my mind. I'm getting weird looks from the women here. Well, moving right along. By the way, that does teach us an awful lot. Kidding aside, our time here is brief. And many of the days are troublesome days. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof was old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this evening. We can have your word in our hands. Lord, we come to this great book of Job, and many of the words, many of the phrases, and many of the paragraphs are sometimes beyond our comprehension and understanding, and yet what great message this book gives us. Lord, you've laid something in my heart tonight concerning this passage. And I pray, O God, that we might somehow catch a glimpse of that. And God, that you would just move upon us. Help us understand. Help us to revel in. O God, may we be epistles known and read of all men in this season, of the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a question asked in verse number 14 that perhaps has plagued mankind throughout the ages. And it's talking about really the resurrection. If a man dies, shall he live again? We look at the Word of God, and of course we know and we believe in the resurrection. This is the season that we celebrate the birth of Christ. But may we never forget that it is eclipsed by the resurrection of our Savior. Not only did He come, not only did He die, not only was He buried in the tomb, but our Savior rose again to ever be at the right hand of the Father. And you and I have the promise. We have God's Word on it. We can spend eternity with Him. Amen? We have that. Job, in the midst of great despair, asked this question. Job is a man that we've learned that, the things that he went through is just almost beyond imagination. Turn back with me for just a moment, chapter number 2. And just get a small glimpse here. Chapter number 2. And we find Job's three friends come to him. Verse number 11 says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him." Now remember, he lost everything. He lost his goods. He lost his employment. He lost his income. He lost his family. I mean, all of his children, they've been killed. All of that which was his prosperity and posterity, it is gone. All he has left is a wife. And then we find that God allows the devil to take his very health. And there he is, covered with boils. I've had one boil in my entire life. I hope to never, ever have another. And yet he was covered on his body. Have no idea. And three friends come. It says here that they came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together. That's interesting. They didn't come out of no reason. They had gathered together for a reason. They came to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was great. A number of years ago, I got a call to the hospital. And as I get to the hospital, I did not know what to expect. I had been told that Neil Buck had been burned severely. And I get to the hospital and go into intensive care area. And in a few moments, they say, "You can go in and see him." I walked into that room, and he had no clothes down to his waist. They had removed all of it. He had been burned severely. I looked down at the form of a man that I knew, and I looked and I thought, I hear his voice, but... And he sounded the same, but he looked so different. His head was almost the size of a basketball, swollen so much. Did not know until much later. They did not even transfer him to the burn unit over in Omaha because they did not expect him to make it through the night. He had some of the most severe burns they'd ever seen at that hospital. And of course, you know that God spared his life through all of that. I think about that as I look at this. They came and it says they knew him not. They couldn't even recognize him because of what had taken place in his life. It says here that they began to weep. It had touched the hearts of men. When men weep, it's generally a pretty good reality that's taken place. And we find that they did what they did in that day. They sprinkled dust upon their heads and they sat down upon the ground with Job for 7 days. Nothing was said. They are in emotional shock and sorrow. They are in grief with Job. They sit in silence and wait for the grieving to express himself first, because that was the custom of the day to this point. And I preached on this not too long ago, and we said some of the same things, but they had done commendably. Far too often, you and I never go in when somebody's in need. I've heard people when others were in a time of need, I can't go see them because I don't want to think of them in that position. Honestly, I've heard folks say that. Don't ever say that in my presence. It's not about you. It's about them in their hour of need. Amen? And they are there to do whatever it is. Now we know and we understand that when they did begin to open their mouths, they said some things they ought not to have said. But I commend them up to this point. They might have been better off had they not said anything. When we look at their speeches, we can come to some conclusions, and we can find that though they had this seeming in their heart, never in their speech did they ever express sympathy to Job. We never find them praying for Him, but they did condemn Him. Aren't we so often like that in our so-called comfort? They seemingly ignored His emotional and His physical agony. And they talked too much and listened far too little. Let me give you a very quick course in counseling. Open your ears, you got two of them. Shut your mouth, you have one. And you'll be considered a great counselor. Sometimes people don't need instructions, they just need to be listened to. I have learned that most often folks know what they need to do. We just need to let them talk long enough that they figure it out. Interesting, amen? They became defensive and argumentative with Him. They belittled rather than encouraged Him. They assumed they knew the cause of His trouble. They had no idea. They assumed He was backslidden. They assumed that He was not right with God, when in fact He was very right with God. Had they only really stopped to seek God in it. They persisted in their views even when they contradicted the facts that were before them. They made a lot of inappropriate suggestions. They even blamed Him for expressing His grief and His frustrations. On one occasion, chapter 16, Job, he indicted them their counseling abilities, or maybe I should say disabilities. He says, I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Brethren, if there's one thing that we ought to learn from the book of Job besides what he endured and how he trusted God through it all, is how to also be a comfort to others. These three, though they started good, did not end well. We read of Job's responses to his friends, and we can really probably divide those responses up into four different themes. There was many times declaration of God's greatness. You read that over and over. As with chapter number 14, we find that Job often spoke of his despair in life. We find on a few occasions Job even is disillusioned with God's ways. And by the way, sometimes those whom we deal with are disillusioned. And sometimes they might say some things that just seem to be so inappropriate. But have you ever read the Psalms and read what David said to God on a few occasions? And was terribly honest about it? We find also that he had a desire for vindication before his God. In his despair, here in chapter number 14, we read this verse. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In the very verse that he asked the question, we find he gives us the answer. Till my change come. In Job chapter number 19, we read, he says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He knew the answer to the question. You and I, we know the answer to that question tonight. We know from the Word of God that there are many others who have expressed the fact that, hey, there is a resurrection. Isaiah wrote this, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Think about that. The earth's going to cast out the dead. Maybe we could call that the rapture. Amen? You and I have the wonderful privilege of resurrection. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But all thank God for that everlasting life. Living before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that Martha said, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. From the Word of God, we learn from the Old Testament and also the New that there is a resurrection from the dead. We know that that resurrection is universal. It will take place not only with the Lord Jesus Christ, but with those of us who have been saved. When that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first to meet the Lord in the air. There's a resurrection, of course, into life. There's a resurrection unto death. We have the prophecies of the Word of God. We find David in Psalm chapter 16 speaking of the resurrection. And he's not speaking of his own, because in the book of Acts we find it's declared very well by Peter on the day of Pentecost. It's speaking of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is of utmost importance. And I'd like for us to just finish our thoughts tonight with this. It is the great sign to the world that Jesus is come as the Messiah. Jesus has come as the Christ, the Anointed One. We find the Lord Jesus had worked many miracles in the physical realm as He showed power over diseases. We find that the lame walked. We find that the lepers were healed. We find those who were infirm rose up from their beds and carried their beds. We read the stories and we marvel at it. And no doubt we have seen in our own lives and the lives of others the healing power of God. How marvelous it is. We find on other occasions the Lord, in His demonstration of His power, had it over the creation itself. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still," and it became calm. Oh, can you imagine upon those stormy waters, and all of a sudden it's like silk as they then finish their journey across the Sea of Galilee. I mean, can you imagine our Lord and our Savior as He has such power? We find He had power over demons to cast them out, as was so eloquently given to us the other night. And those demons that were within the man called Legion were cast into those hogs, and they ran over the precipice and they were killed. Our God has great ability. We even find on three occasions He raised up the dead. Somebody said it was the dead, the deader, and the deadest. For Lazarus was 4 days. They said, "Behold, he stinketh." And yet with all of that, the nation of Israel accused Him of getting His power and authority from the devil. And they wanted a great sign like the prophets. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 38. Listen to these words. "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from Thee.' The waters became still. The lepers were healed. The lame walked. The blind saw. The multitude was fed. The demons went running. And we want to see a sign from Thee.' But He answered and said to them," and listen to this, "'an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas.' Now listen to this, 'For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" What is He saying to these Jewish leaders? He is saying, "My resurrection will forever settle this controversy. It is that which demonstrates to the world, hey, I am the Messiah. I am the One who has come as the Son of God." When Paul wrote Romans, God had him say this, "and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness," listen to this, "by the resurrection from the dead." Our Savior came and was born in that manger, in a place where the ewes were brought to birth the lambs. The very lambs that were used in the temple sacrifice. And there God brought His ewe in the person of Mary, and the Lamb of God was brought forth. But the purpose was not just to be born as a babe in a manger, but to live a life that was pure and spotless, because that Lamb had to be pure and spotless. There was a reason for that, because Jesus did not die for His sin. He had none. The wages of sin is death. Therefore, death had no hold upon Him. But we find the Bible says, "But upon Him all of our iniquities were laid." And thus He died for us. But that's not the end of the story. Because Jesus, after He was buried 3 days and three nights, arose from the grave to become victorious over it. There had been others that had been raised from the dead. There had been one that had been lowered down upon the bones of Elijah. And when He touched him, he jumped back out of the grave. Enoch, the Bible says, never even died, went to be in the presence of the Lord. Elijah was taken up in the chariot of fire. The three we mentioned that Jesus brought up from the dead. But none have ever self-resurrected. Only God. I say these things to you tonight because we cannot tell the Christmas story without telling about not only His birth, but He lived a perfect life. He died, He was buried, and He's not dead any longer. We have a living Savior. Therefore, we can call upon Him. Therefore, we tonight as God's people can go directly to the throne of grace through our Savior. He's our intercessor. Matter of fact, He's such a great intercessor that sometimes we pray and we don't even know how to pray. Have you noticed that? I don't even know what I really need, God. And the Spirit of Christ prays for us. And many times even puts into our hearts and our minds what the real need is. And He's there for us. We don't always understand it. We don't always recognize as we ought to. And yet He's ever present. He's the living Savior. Amen? He's not just a babe. He's the matchless Son of God that lived, that died, was buried, and rose again. And you and I have the privilege to tell the world. Amen? Let me put it this way tonight. Let a guy that's just a little bit crude and yet brought out of a life that, as I have read, is one that was full of drugs and alcohol and promiscuity. Let a guy like Phil Robertson inspire you to stand and tell the truth that Jesus is alive. Amen? And He's there to help us. He's there to guide us and to be our Savior. We have a great, wonderful privilege. Amen? And you got a couple days before the actual Christmas day. You have no idea the people that might be placed in your reach. Some of them might be family. Do you know what most of us would say? The hardest people to talk to is our family. You know why? They know us. They know us. Yeah. But if we've been real, it's amazing what we can say. And we can talk to them about Christ. And here's a catch. Sometimes we think people won't listen. The parable of the sower ought to teach us something. The sower went forth to sow. And though there's four kinds of soil, we find He just threw the seed to all of them. Did you know it's not our job to determine the soil? It's not our job to determine who's going to listen and who's not. Who will and who won't? Our job is just simply to tell them. And throw it out there. Let God work in their hearts. Amen? You have no idea what you can accomplish. Kids, you have no idea what you can accomplish. I've told you this. One of my wife's best friends when we were in Bible college was a woman named Elaine. She was one to Christ. through the testimony of a 4-year-old girl. Who just came over every day and would just talk about the things of God. Just as innocently and just as naturally. All that we might just understand and learn from that little girl. And as a result, that woman who had never really had much to do with any of that began to inquire with others and ended up getting saved. Then her husband got saved. Went off to Bible college. You never know what the power of your testimony is. Hey, listen. It's not just a baby in a manger. It's a Savior that went to a cross and is alive today. What a great message. Father tonight, thank you. Oh, how we thank you for the message that you give us. The wondrous and glorious message of the cross. Of a Savior who died and rose and is alive forever. Lord, I pray that you would just embolden us, empower us, O God, in this season. Let us not fear what man can do. And, O God, that we might stand in this wicked age. Stand for truth and God, that we might speak it out. Lord, help us to do it in love. Help us to be kind. Help us to do it the way you would want us to. But, O God, that we would do so. I pray tonight that amongst us here that we might make determination to speak to any of those that you lay in our hearts and our path. God, just give us that tonight. Help us to make that determination, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.